Amen.
You are awesome. Very welcome, sir.
Same here. Same here.
Very welcome.
The truth of the matter is, you just fulfilled a prophecy tonight. I don't know if you know that, sir. When I met my, well, not when I met her, but when I met her in God, meaning when I knew she was my wife, when I started disturbing her, quote and unquote, about 15 years ago now, I told her, I said, a day's going to come, because we were talking about what life was going to be. I told her, hey, I'm called to be a pastor, so this is who you're going to be with, blah, blah, blah. And I said, a day will come where people will introduce me as your husband, not you as my wife.
Wow.
Because I was prophesying to her about what God showed me about her future. And of course, she said, no, that could never happen. I can't see that happen. And you just fulfilled that prophecy tonight.
I thought it was a slip of tongue. I tried to control.
No, it was not. Thank you for making me look like a prophet. I appreciate that.
I have to say, glory be to God, sir.
Amen. Amen.
You are very welcome. We are ready. And I'll just, you know, step aside now. And what's the Lord saying? We are ready to receive. Over to you, sir.
Bless you, sir. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. And first of all, let me just say a very, 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 very huge thank you to Pastor Fola and Pastor Wura Olaoye. I've said this before, and I mean it. First of all, I'm not a flatterer. I don't say nice. I don't toast the host because I want people to bring me back. To the glory of God, I'm not in lack of places to go, so I don't need to kiss the ring because I want to come to a place. But your pastor is on my top five list of Christians that I know. He's gifted, he's anointed, he's blessed, he's a powerful man of God. But the biggest thing I can say about them is they are Christians of the highest caliber. I have known Pastor Fola now for 16 years, I believe.
That's right.
And Pastor Wura for about 13 or 4 or 12. We met in the bathroom. Just like I met my best friend who would have been the best man at my wedding in a bathroom too. So it seems to be something about bathrooms where I meet significant people in my life. And I blessed that day. One of the things I appreciate about them, and especially Pastor Fuller, is that, like the millennials say, we started from the bottom and now we're here. So he knew me BC. He knew me pre-stage, pre-public, pre-fame, pre-man of God status. And I can honestly say he's never treated me different one day in our relationship from that day. He's not had to treat me any different now than he treated me then, because he treated me then with all the regard and the decency that is too often missing in people who believe and know that they're called by God. I've watched him over the years. I've learned simplicity. I've learned humility. And I've also learned patience and perseverance to a call and to a people. If this is your church, if these are your pastors, then God gave you his best. And God doesn't send minor prophets to do, or major prophets to do minor assignments. And so if these are the men and women that God assigned to your destiny, then that is all you need to know about how important God believes your destiny is. So I say this with no fear of contradiction. If this is your house, sit down here, let God work in you and let him work through you. And to everybody in Love Assembly, all the leaders, I miss all of you. My wife and I were talking about it, that this year we weren't going to get to see you guys. You've become like a second home, second family to us. She's usually not too excited at my ministry trips because she likes to spend time with me for some reason or the other. But she loves you guys. I mean, she every year, by the time we get to November, she's already asking me, so what's going on about Love Assembly this year? I'm like, relax, calm down. We plan our year, we plan our calendar, we plan our family time just so we can be with you guys. And it's mutual, and she loves it, and she's excited about it. and our boys as well. They've literally grown up before you guys. You saw each of them within 6 months of their birth or 9 months of their birth. You saw them grow. We're so excited that you are our family and we get to do life with you.
God be the glory.
Unfortunately, this year, as God would will it, via what some people call anti-corona, we have to come to you from sunny London, Essex to be precise. And I'm hoping that that distance will not be distant in the spirit.
Amen.
Father, tonight we ask for an avalanche of your glory. Mm. Oh, we want the fire. We want the wind.
Mm.
We definitely, Lord, definitely want the earthquake. We want you to shake and vibrate and move stuff out of the way, burn stuff and blow stuff in and out. Mm. But above all, we crave the stillness of that quiet voice. Speak as only you can.
Yes, Lord.
Do what only you will.
Right, Lord.
Be who only you are.
Mm.
We honor you and we praise you in advance in Jesus' name. And Amen. Let all the people of God say,
Amen.
Amen. So this is how we're going to do it, right? For those of you who are watching by Facebook, you guys know me in Liverpool. I'm what I call a, what's the word I'm looking for now? I'm a preacher who demands participation. Science has proven that you retain 70% more of anything that you learn or receive while you are actively engaging. And that means repeating after, saying stuff, moving around, whatever. So I'm watching the comment section, just so you know. See that there? See that? And so the fact that you can't see me or hear me or I can't hear you, I want to see you say, yes, amen, follow along. Let's interact, right? Let's do this together. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. And to everybody, I usually forget someone's name, so I don't want to mention anybody's name, but you guys know who you are, my livable family, all of you, all of you, all of you, all of you. If you think I'm talking about you, yes, I am. The leaders, the workers, the members, love you guys. Mwah. So let's go to Genesis chapter 8.
Mm.
Now, other than my wife yesterday, I intentionally have not listened to anything from this year's retreat so far.
That's
and
right.
It's intentional. And I do that every year. I only start to listen after I'm done.
Mm.
Because I understand the significance of what you guys do here. First of all, Pastor Fuller, I celebrate you guys. I kept joking and saying, this is your last 12 days of the year thing. I'll happily partner with it. I'll happily be a part of it. But God hasn't called me to it and I don't plan to do it.
Mm.
And that was until this year. Mm-hmm. Mm. We did 21 days. And by the time I was done, I said, my spirit is talking. My body and my mind are like, shut up. It is weird. It is strange. I can't explain it. My physical apparatus is literally shut down with fatigue. But my spirit man is vibrating at energy levels I have not experienced in a very, very long time.
Mm.
And so work with me tonight. But I know you guys use this as a prophetic calendar for your year. And every year I come, it creates a little bit of a dichotomy in my spirit because I'm asking myself, do you want me to declare what, in essence, God, do you want me to give the word of the Lord and wrap it in scripture? Or do you want me to preach from scripture and let them deduce their word of the Lord?
Mm.
And especially because I'm a prophet by calling, it's a huge dichotomy. Do I give a prophetic word and use scripture as an excuse for it, aka make it a sermon?
Mm.
Or do I preach the word of God and trust that they will decode their prophetic word from it? And every year I've chosen to do the second. I'm just going to preach what God lays on my heart or teach what God lays on my heart and trust that in the flow of that, either he will interrupt with a word, which he has done some years, or when I'm done, you guys will be able to decode what God is saying to you for your year.
Mm.
Now, this today specifically, we're going to do number two. So I am ignoring the pressure of knowing that what I say today will form the prophetic framework for at least 1 month of your year, if not more.
Mm.
And I'm just going to bring to you the word of God,
mm.
which is a more sure word of prophecy. and trust that from it, you will get a word or the word of the Lord. I'm going to bring to you the word of God and trust that God will give you the word of the Lord from the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the people of God said, amen. Let me see
amen.
Amen in the comment section. Amen. So Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. Now, our theme is a new heart, a new altar, and a new earth. And if you gave me 10 days, if you gave me all 12 days, we wouldn't be done. So we're going to just condense this into one scripture and trust that everything that has to be said about these three things we can find from this scripture. And for those of you who are sensitive, as I lay emphasis on certain parts of these verses, the Spirit of God will begin to speak to you as an individual, as a family, as a church, as a nation of the earth, wherever you are, and as a generation. I believe there are going to be those four levels of prophecy tonight from this word of God. Personal, family, church, nations, and fifth, a generation. Genesis 8 verse 1. But God remembered Noah. Selah. That's the Berean Study Bible. Now, the King James Bible says, and God remembered Noah. The Berean Study Bible says, but God remembered Noah. And to my young man, Noah, love you so much. I'm so proud of what you're doing. I'm excited. I stalk you on social media. You don't know. I have a burner account, so you don't know it's me. So you don't pretend. But well done. We're proud of you. And your latter will be greater than your former.
Amen.
Beginning has been small. Your latter end is about, in this 2021, Noah, specifically to you, young man, your latter end is about to greatly increase.
Amen.
There is a process that God has begun in you over the last few years that he's about to bring into completion over this next 12 months. And the end product is going to be glorious.
Amen. Amen.
And I use this jokingly, but you might want to give, your family might want to get your autograph now. And I'll leave you there. But you're about, God is about to open doors to you, Noah, as a prophetic metaphor of the promise of the Lord to your parents regarding ministry.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
You are a prophetic symbol, a type and a shadow of God's ministerial call to your parents. And God is about to use his dealings with you of favor this year as a herald to a season of favor, increase, and elevation where your parents' ministerial assignment is concerned. So I need my picture with you so that I can say I know you. And God remembered Noah. Or but God remembered Noah. Now, whenever you see an and or but in scripture, I've said this in Liverpool before. The late great Kenneth Hagin said, whenever you see therefore in the Bible, you need to find out what the therefore is there for. When you see an and or but, you need to see what came before. Because what came before is going to be either completely erased or added to by what God is about to say. So when you see a but, in essence, it means forget everything that happened before. When you see an and, it means filter what is about to happen through what is what happened before. Like I just read to you, two different versions say, one says and, one says but. So the question is, what is God saying here? Is it the erase what came before, or is it the continue what came before? And I present to you, my opinion is it's a bit of both.
That's right. Same thing. Same thing.
God is saying, irrespective of what happened in chapter 7, this is my word to you. However, what is happening in chapter 8 could not happen unless chapter 7 first happened. And if you know what happened in chapter 7, then you are, you're either excited or passed out in shock on your floor right now. Because the entire world was wiped out.
That's right.
Everything, civilization, systems, economy, sports, entertainment, chaos. We literally ended up with an identical scenario almost to Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible says the earth was shapeless, formless, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The word deep means waters. Mm. And the Spirit of God hovered. Genesis 7 is as close to Genesis 1 as we ever see again in Scripture. In fact, it was so close to Genesis 1 that God said he had to make a covenant and said, never again will I destroy the earth. It was crazy. It was wild. It was complete. You know, young people, it was what you would call a mashup. The earth looked like, quote and unquote, again, millennial language, a madness.
Mm.
And Noah and his family, and I'm sure somebody must have preached about this the first few days, are stuck in this ark for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
That is prophetic. A whole year. And like I kept begging everybody I knew, just leave 2020. I kept saying from February, I kept saying, leave 2020. Don't hustle. Don't rush. God knows what he's doing. Take it as a Sabbath year. Prepare for 2021, but very few people listened outside our immediate circle of friends and family and church. But a whole year, everything is shut down. And then at the end of the year, God says to Noah, now let's talk. And in verse 23 of Genesis 7, it says, and every living substance, not just thing, substance, was destroyed, which is upon the face of the ground. Man, cattle, creeping things, the fowl of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah alone remained alive, and they that were with him. In essence, as far as God was concerned, Noah was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was a beneficiary of Noah's covenant with God. May you and I this year coming and in this new season of our lives, may we be what I call heavenly census markers.
Amen.
God doesn't count the way we count. The Bible says he teaches us to number our days. In essence, there are days that pass on the earth that God doesn't count because that day is irrelevant to God. It's not part of history in God's mind. There are things that don't count in heaven's economy. You might have 9 cars and God only counts 1.
Mm.
Hear me, somebody. There are children that don't count from Bible. God said to Abraham, take Isaac, your son, your only son. Ishmael was alive. God was saying to Abraham, that child you birth, and I don't mean biological child, because every human being counts. I mean something you produce, something that comes from your loins. Some of us have spent 10 years building something that God has no relevancy for.
Ooh.
It's not in his... God. When God looks at the earth, he doesn't see it. Some of us spend half of our day doing things that heaven doesn't record. It says Noah only remained alive. Oh, and by the way, they that were with him, in essence,
family.
When God is doing his census, he has what I call census markers, people and things he counts, and then everything else is connected to them. Lot was blessed, the Bible says, for the sake of Abraham.
That's right.
Laban was blessed for the sake of Jacob. There are individuals, things, and moments that to God are significant, and everything else around them finds their significance by association. This year, may we be Noah's.
Amen.
And they that were with him. Secondly, they were in the ark. There are 3 major manifestations of the ark in Scripture. The first is the ark of Noah. The second is the ark of Moses on the waters. And the third is the ark of the covenant of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they all have the same reality. You may not see it, but they're all saying the same story. We have been taught to focus on the ark as what it does. What is done to it, as a manifestation of the glory of God. But what it really is important, or what really is important about an ark, is what it holds, what it protects. The ark of Noah protected the seed of the new world. The ark of Moses protected the man from which God was going to make a new world or new earth in Israel's day. Mm-hmm. And the ark of the covenant is doing the same thing. The effect it has is because of what it holds. And the Ark of the Covenant held the table or the pot of manna, the tablets of stone upon which the law, the covenant were written, and the rod of Moses that budded. Whenever there is a crisis, heaven protects what is needed in the Ark. And the principle is this. When you come out of an ark, don't focus on what was lost. Focus on what God saw necessary to protect. Let me repeat. Pastor Fuller, you've gone quiet to me. I was loving your sounds. Don't put yourself on mute, sir. I'm loving your sounds.
That's right. I'm here, very much here.
Let me repeat.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through a flood, like we have in 2020 worldwide, do not mourn what was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Or you end up like Noah, drunk and depressed. There are things heaven sovereignly chose to protect. Heaven said, this thing has to survive the flood because it's necessary for what I'm about to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
So heaven either gives you an instruction and says, take it in,
mm-hmm.
or heaven will sovereignly orchestrate for it to come in. Now, I want to ask you a question. Work with me for a second. The dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant were enough to keep two or seven times every species of animal that was alive then. And scientists tell us several thousands of species, maybe even millions, have been extinct over the last thousands of years.
That's right.
It was a huge boat, probably the size or bigger than the Titanic.
Mm.
Do you really think that the only things that entered that boat were the things Noah counted in?
Hmm.
You think no fly or no spider, no ant, no bird accidentally flew in that wasn't counted? Okay. Let's move on. I present to you that the law of averages stipulates that at least one animal, at least one bug, one centipede, one millipede, one mosquito, something would have entered that ark that wasn't part of Noah's census. And heaven was fine with it.
Hmm.
And the Bible says everything that came in came out.
Mm-hmm.
There are things God will tell you to preserve.
That's right.
And there are things he will just by himself sovereignly orchestrate for them to enter the ark.
Hmm.
When you come out, the first thing you must do is take a census. What survived? Because that is all you need to create your new earth.
Come on.
Secondly, there are things that survived that you require for your new altar.
That's right.
God told Noah only two of the unclean animals, but seven of the clean.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Why seven? Two pairs of male and female. And heaven had calculated that if Noah was to follow the divine protocol of the spirit realm, he would have to raise an altar. In essence, there are things that God kills while you're in the ark. Mm. And then there are things he trusts you to kill when you come out. For them to have been, and hear this, folks, in a world completely destroyed by water, where did they get wood and stones for an altar? Let me repeat.
Okay.
In a world completely destroyed by water, how did they get dry wood and stones that had not been destroyed over a year of sedimentation to raise an altar? I propose to you that they took that with them into the ark.
Mm.
Whether God told Noah and it wasn't recorded in scripture, or Noah had enough sense,
that's right,
to understand how this God worked.
Mm-hmm.
What went into the altar was what was required to create a new reality.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says Noah sowed a vineyard. Where did he get the seed for the vineyard for?
Mm-hmm.
That must have gone into the ark with him. But he started, as we'll see in a second,
mm-hmm.
by creating an altar.
Create.
But the third thing I propose to you is the ark was designed to construct in Noah a new heart. The experience was God's way of what I call bringing alignment. God was showing Noah what was important from his perspective. And let me digress a bit. If you have survived 2020 and you are still vain and carnal, God can't help you anymore.
Mm.
Only you can help yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
God has gone through all this trouble to show you from his perspective what is important. If you are still concerned with things that don't matter, I was praying this afternoon and the presence of God was so strong in my room. And I began to say some things to God I didn't plan, just came out of my mouth. And then something hit me in my spirit as I was saying to the Lord, it is you alone matter. Your opinion alone counts.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, son, the reason why your generation is so worried about the opinions of men.
Mm.
Because they don't spend enough time in this level of my presence where I am so real to them.
That's right.
Let me repeat. What people say or think about you will be so important if you don't have access to the reality of heaven's opinion about you. The more real heaven and God's perspective is to you, the less the reality of men matter.
Mm.
God has spent 12 months showing us as a generation what's important and what is not.
Mm.
Who is important and who is not?
Mm. Mm, 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 mm.
Where is important and where is not?
Mm.
And finally, how is important and how is not? And I don't have time to go into that, so may the Lord grant you understanding.
Amen.
Let me repeat. What is important and what mm-hmm. is not?
Mm-hmm.
Who is important and who is not?
Hmm.
Where is important and where is not? And how?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you're a pastor watching this, I think God has proven to us that while the building is good, it is not do or die.
Mm.
So when we get back to the building, which we should, we cannot go back to a reality where our entire budget, our entire focus, and our entire energy are around facilitating a system that was rendered irrelevant for 12 months.
Come on. Come on.
Wow.
If we go back to that, then of all men, we are most foolish.
Come on.
There are places you could not go this year.
Hmm. Hmm.
God is telling you, while they may be good and useful,
come
they
on,
are not the be-all and the end-all.
Come wow. on, come on, come on.
Okay. When you can go back, e.g. to your weddings, for those of you who say Saturdays are for weddings, I agree. You know, yeah. Pastor, I don't know if you've seen that on social media. People who dress up and take a picture and say Saturdays are for weddings. Good. Go to the weddings by all means. But not at the risk or at the expense of valuable time that should be invested. And I'm talking, I'm not talking about the weddings of people you have a covenant relationship with. I mean, those of you who just like to turn up. There's people who just like to turn up. They just go Mobomo branch, as they say. They just like to look good. You know, they're more interested in the experience than the covenant relationship of the visit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you guys listening to me? And for those of you getting married in 2021, people got married in 2020. I was talking to a young man who told me he was so excited because he got to save thousands of pounds.
Come on.
By all means, have a big wedding in 2021, not at the expense of your family's financial future. And there are people who you realized you could live without.
Oh, you.
And if not, they showed you they definitely can live without you. Do not tailor your life to the preferences and demands of people whose life will be just fine without you. Let me repeat. Do not tailor your life. Do not live under the pressure of expectations and demands from people whose life will not materially change without you in it. The more crucial to your life a person's opinion wants to be, the more crucial to their life you must be. Ajoke Israel Ishavi's opinion is critical to me. Kadesh Israel Ishavi's opinion, critical. Jeremy Israel Ishavi's opinion, critical. Why? I'm their father. I'm their husband. I am an indispensable part of their life. If I am not an indispensable part of yours, you have no right to try and design my life around you. And may God grant many of us wisdom.
Amen.
Pastors, you found out who was important this year.
Yes, sir.
4 a.m. phone calls, running around like a headless chicken. All that. God showed you who your church really was.
Benny.
Pastor Paula said Benny. Anybody who was fine and who... Okay, let me take that back. I don't want to get in trouble here. Let me phrase this properly. If the sum total of their interaction with you this year was to watch you on a screen, if they added no value except watching you on a screen, if they felt okay, in essence, they didn't demand anything from you except watching you on a screen. It means they don't need anything from you next year except watching you from the pulpit. I'll leave it there. Now, notice I said you. They may have demanded something from one of your leaders. Or their friends in church. And that was God's way of showing you, man or woman of God, that you are not God.
That's right, sir.
That his kingdom will survive without you.
Very true.
That you do not need to be central to everything that goes on in that church.
That's right. Let go. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's begin to bring this to a close. So no one remained alive in the ark, and them that were with him, the waters prevailed upon the earth. In essence, the crisis prevailed. And God remembered Noah. A day came where God... Now, my question was, did God forget? Did God go to sleep? I'm like, Noah. Hey, poor guy, Noah. Noah. Because that's how many of us probably see this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God said, and I forgot that guy, Chai. That's not good. Naughty me. Okay, let's check on Noah real quick. No, sir. That is not what happened. There are moments where heaven is actively involved.
Yes.
In a case. And there are other seasons where heaven is aware and passively involved. If you come from my country of birth, where God lives, Nigeria, and no demon and no government can tell me any different.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and in 2021, Nigeria, I don't know if I should say this. This is Love Assembly, not Kingdom Culture. So I don't want to put Pastor Fola in trouble. But the judgment of God is walking the corridors of Nigeria and other African countries in 2021. And we will hear and see what it looks like when the cries of God's people enter his ears. God is about to visit Nigeria like he visited Egypt. Let's keep moving. There are moments where, like they say in my country, your file is on heaven's desk. The Bible says of Joseph that the word of the Lord tried him until his word came. Scripture says in more than one occasion, the appointed time. Psalm 139, it is time to favor Zion for the appointed time. The set time, the appointed time. There are moments in time where God says, now let's talk.
That is right.
And God remembered Noah.
Yes, sir.
And every living thing and all the cattle, meaning animals, that was with him in the ark. Why would God demarcate between living things and cattle? I digress. Let's keep moving. That's for another day. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains of the deep, the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continuously. And after the end of 150 days, the waters abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the tenth month. And in the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. It came to pass after 40 days, Noah opened the ark and sent the raven, and it went to and fro. And then he sent a dove. It came back. He sent it again, and it came back with something in its mouth. He sent it after seven more days, and it did not come back. In 2021, we must test how safe it is to come out. Any circumstance. By how comfortable the Holy Spirit is. Let me repeat. In 2021... we must learn to send the Holy Spirit ahead of us and see whether or not he stays where we want to come.
Whoa.
Many of us have been burnt by dragging the Holy Spirit into circumstances.
That's right.
Where he has to do remedial work. In 2020, God is raising a prophetic people who are patient enough to let the Holy Spirit scout the land and tell us by his... In essence, if he comes back, he's telling us, I ain't ready to stay there. What am I saying?
Prophetic.
When God leaves you alone and says, if you like, stay there, then you follow him. Let me repeat. When your peace leaves where you are into your future, then you follow it. You, in essence, you don't look before you leap. You let God go and stay before you leap. You don't leap first and then start looking for God in your pocket. Say, Holy Ghost, yeah, come on, no. You know now, I beg, help us. No. This is a year where efficiency, a decade, I should say, where efficiency of movement is critical. There is no more time to waste, no more energy to waste, no more opportunity to waste. There has to be efficiency. Efficiency of effort in this next decade. Anyway, eventually, in the 601st year, in the first month, Noah comes out the ark. Bible, this is verse 13 now. He looks, and the face of the ground was dry. In the second month of the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dried. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, Go forth from the ark, you, your wife, your sons, and their wives. Bring forth with thee every living thing, both of fowl and of cattle, and every creeping thing, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. Isn't it just like God to tell a man and a people just coming out of restriction and cramping and say, now be fruitful and multiply abundantly? 7.5 billion people, we're told, on the earth today came from these 8 people. God is saying to someone, some people, some church, some city, some nation, it is time to be fruitful and multiply. Listen, upon the earth. You have become fruitful in the spirit. You don't know. While you were stuck in that ark, while you were stuck in that season of limitation, you did not realize heaven was shifting some stuff. And now heaven is saying, it is time. Someone say, it is time.
It is time.
It is time.
To be fruitful and multiply.
Fruitful and multiply.
And so they went forth, all of them, out of the ark. Verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord in preparation for a new earth. The man who had been given a new heart had to construct a new altar.
That's right, sir.
An altar is a nexus point between realms where the spirit meets the natural. An altar is the place where license is given to a spirit or spirit entities on the earth. And the construct, the structure, the architecture of the altar must match the designated requirements of the spirit being licensed. Every time God shifts his modus operandi, it requires a new altar. Let me repeat. The altar must always match the nature and the structure of the deity being summoned.
That's right.
Being invoked.
That's right. According to the pattern.
According to the pattern. The altar for Jireh is not the altar for Nisi.
That's right, sir.
The altar for Gomorrah is not the altar for Sabaoth. The altar for Baal Perazim is not the altar for Shammah. Every time God shifts the parameters of his dealings with a man, a family, a church, a city, or a nation, or a generation, it requires a new altar to birth a new earth. And that altar must be staffed by a priest with a new heart.
That's right,
and Dr. Joker spoke about the new heart yesterday. I have nothing to add.
That's right, sir.
It'd be like adding salt to Mama Put's rice. It'll just spoil it. Verse 22. Verse 20. 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor and said in his heart, I will not again curse. Now, he didn't say it outwardly. He said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake. So Noah's altar did not just reverse the flood. It reversed Adam's mistake. Let me repeat. There are seasons of constriction that heaven calls for, partially to ensure that the process of shutting down that restriction doesn't just restore what the restriction stole. Let me explain. God will let this person steal your car, so that when you report it to the police and they go looking, they don't just find this car. They found the one they stole last year. God will orchestrate seasons such that the process of revoking that negative season does far more than what the negative season spoilt. Adam's curse would still have been in place if the flood never happened.
Please say that again. Say that again, sir.
Adam's curse on the ground would still have been in place if the flood had never happened.
That's right, sir. That is very true.
The flood was God's way of burying the earth and its wickedness. Such that the curse on the earth died with it.
That's right, sir.
The same way Lazarus had to die so that whatever made him sick would also die.
Come on.
That parasite needed to die. If Lazarus had been healed, that virus, quote unquote, would have been, quote unquote, dormant. God said, this one has to decompose. So that when I call what I created back, what was attached to it is no longer there. God said, that flood sufficiently reset the scales.
That's right.
Now revoke the curse that happened 1,000 years before Noah was born.
Revoke, reset.
And God says, I still know that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. But I will not smite anything anymore as I have done. He then says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Somebody say trouble.
Trouble.
And God blessed Noah in his heart and said unto them, be fruitful. Now look at chapter 9, verse 1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. He repeats 3 of the 5 commandments he gave Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. They could not subdue or not have dominion till Christ came, because they had handed over the dominion to Satan. But they could still be fruitful, multiply, and replenish, meaning put it back in its rightful state. Unpack what's inside your ark
until
it grows and covers the earth. The problem was, go back to chapter 8, the last verse. Noah got the new altar. He started to create the new earth. But God tells us in verse 21, for the imagination of man's heart is evil.
Still problem with the heart.
And there were only 8 men alive at that time, male and female men. God said something went wrong with this reset. In addition to all the animals and all the things I wanted to preserve, they brought something into this ark I did not want to come in.
That's right.
But I had to let that thing come in because it was attached to them. And they did not take sufficient use of the time in the ark to recreate that heart. The heart of the matter has always been the matter of the heart. And we see how this goes wrong. First of all, Ham, the youngest child, comes in while his father is drunk. I'm of the opinion Noah was suffering depression, PTSD. And took a little wine for his stomach's sake.
There's awful infirmities.
And Grandpa Noah ended up in his birthday suit. Ham walks in. And certain scholars have suggested that now I am not taking a side. I'm just telling you what the people who went to school studying Hebrew have said. That there was something lecherous, something sensual about Ham's looking at his father that triggered the curse. Others have said, and they are right, that the phrase uncovered a nakedness of a father is the same phrase Jacob uses to Reuben when he tells Reuben, I knew when you slept with my concubine. And so that school of thought says that what the Bible means here is not just that Ham saw his father naked, but that Ham took advantage of his father's drunken state to sleep with his father's wife, which would have been his mother. Whichever way you choose to slice it, somebody's heart was messed up here. The flood was also designed to wipe out the race of the giants, the Nephilim.
Yep.
But we see them again after the flood. The Bible says, in those days, they were giants, Nephilim, and in the days after them. And every single time an individual, except once, is referred to in the Bible after the flood as being a giant, or described as a potential giant, the sons of Anak and the rest of them, Goliath, Shihon, Og, they all come from the line of Ham. Let me repeat. Except for one occasion, every reference to a giant post the flood in scripture is a descendant of Ham. Someone came out of that ark with a perverse heart. And it's somebody say destroyed.
Destroyed.
Somebody say destroyed.
Destroyed.
Somebody say with me, say destroyed.
Destroyed.
It destroyed what God was trying to do. The absence of a new heart will destroy the new earth and make the product of the new altar irrelevant.
That's right.
And so like Dr. Joker said last night, you must say, somebody say, I must say.
I must say.
God creating me.
Create, that's right.
A clean and a new heart. Because it is from the heart that will flow the streams of my life.
That's right, sir.
What I will be in this new decade will be completely determined by what I am in my heart. Oh, Rabashandele Kiriate. Pastor, I'm the one playing that background music. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah, that's very fine.
The heart is your subconscious reality. It is the real you that lives beyond your conscious thoughts. It's your autopilot. It's your sense of value. Somebody say sense of value. It is your sense of decision making. It is the thing that governs who you really are. Is what drives you. Your priority system. It is what is left when you are put in a fire. Let me put it this way. God put you in his ark. But your heart is what is in your ark. In Nigeria, we say last. Your heart is what you are last. When the music fades and all is stripped away, what is left beyond the show, beyond the facade, beyond the intentional effort, your default position, your equilibrium state is your heart. Hear me, I understand the theology of Jesus' coming. I understand the theology of one who was born of no sin. I get that. I'm talking prophetically now, not literally. The Bible says Noah was righteous in his generation. The cross was necessary prophetically because the flood failed. I repeat, the cross was necessary because the flood failed. And many of us who have survived the flood of 2020 need to go cling to the cross. And say, Lord, if you don't work in me what you've worked around me, I'll budget. Because the stage is set for the manifestation of the sons of God in 2021 and beyond. These next 9 years are going to be heaven on earth for some of us, while being hell on earth for everybody else. And God has done his bit. God has reset the environment. He's now waiting for your reset. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Mantuko kibas kateria so.
Sandala bakideni.
Shandere.
Oh, we worship.
Raka, raba.
Oh, we worship you. Lift your hands, everybody. Lift your hands.
Oh, bagado shandere.
As the woman of God said last night, would you cry to God and say, "Create in me a clean, a new heart." Open your mouth and pray. Hearts are created. They are not just given. They are constructed. They are not refurbished. Hearts are commissioned, not bought. It is a heart that powers the altar. The altar filters for a heart. The number one failure of the Old Testament altar was not just the animal. It was the heart of the man offering the sacrifice. The Bible says those priests could not accomplish this because of who they were. It took one whose heart was not untouched by the feelings of infirmity of the people, but whose heart was also perfect to the deity. The heart is the final piece of the puzzle. It's the key that unlocks the door that heaven has crafted for your future. The heart will provoke the altar. The right heart will always call for the right altar. And this year is a year of prophetic transactions and dimensions. There are things you and God will deal with at 6 a.m. that will shift generations to come.
Yeah.
There are moments you'll be stuck on a bus waiting for your breakdown service to come, and heaven calls for a referendum in your spirit.
Mm.
And transactions are conducted that open a vista for generations to come. Heaven is remembering you. And I begin to close with this as we pray. Heaven is asking for you to remember it. Let me repeat. Heaven has always been aware of you. Mm. In this season, heaven is prioritizing you. Heaven is saying it knows you have always been aware of it.
Mm.
In this season, it is demanding that you prioritize it. God is calling us back to the way of the altar. To the culture of the altar.
Mm.
To the lifestyle of the altar. Not from religion, but from the heart. Not from religion. Setonka lebradie koshada la masade. But from the heart, from the center of reality. The altar of prayer, the altar of giving, the altar of holiness, the altar of love and compassion for others, the altar of service to his kingdom, the family altar, the walk of consecration. But heaven is first saying, it has to come. I will not accept clean water from a dirty cup.
Mm.
I won't accept the right thing from the wrong place. I want you to lift up your voice with me this evening and begin to cry and say, Lord.
Lord,
a new heart. And a new world. Open your mouth and pray with me. 5 minutes. God, tonight I create. In the spirit, come on. And I call for from the heavens, I place a demand on. Come on, open your mouth. Ramako Sabadadeasa. Come on, come on. Masilendo Rikabahadegata. Father, on the eve of this season of my life. Yes, Chandele Mayenedo.
Dalada Glanda, Korean Glandi,
Gamanes, Daneleto. Come on, come on, come on. 4 more minutes. Seal the deal now, 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 now. Seal it, seal it, seal it. Jorema Kasuriata Makodi Kadala.
As this come.
Lord, you're ready for me, and I'm ready for you. In your eyes, it is my time. And in my eyes, it is your time. I come ready. As a church, we come ready. As families, we come ready. As nations, we come ready. Kabrodos akale tabahadega. Come on, come on, 3 more minutes.
Adaga,
Come on, tell him. 2 more minutes. Father, we build your altar. You chose the spot by where the flood dumped the ark. You chose the sacrifice by what you called for in the ark. You chose the time by when the waters assuaged. But we choose the heart that we bring to it. It is your place, your time. Your prescription, my heart. The only thing you left to my choice, the only thing you left me to my devices concerning, I choose a new heart.
Oh.
Activate a new altar with me. Build a new earth around and within me. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory and glory. I hear the Lord say to some of us, if you will rebuild my altar with my prescription, not the ones you chose, the one I gave. God says, if you will go back to my blueprint, and I've been nagging you about it this year. Pastor Fola, what's today? What month are we in today?
May.
I just feel God saying, by this time next year, and I don't know if he means, because I know you guys, every day means a month.
Yeah.
I don't know if he means by May or by December, but I hear by this time next year, next year, God says, I would have recreated your new earth.
Amen.
I would have birthed the fullness of my promise to you. Father, we give you thanks and praise. One more thing, lest I forget.
Yes. Hold on, sir.
Pastor Fuller?
Yeah?
This year, God spoke to me and said, tell the pastors to let my people go. This was just before the lockdowns began.
Yeah. So if you can turn the...
Oh, sorry. I forgot it was still
down.
On.
Yeah. Just a little bit down.
He said, tell the pastors to let my people go. Meaning, stop treating church like an ownership structure where people were conscripted to build a vision as opposed to being built up into God's vision for their lives. And I share that with several churches. In Love Assembly, God is saying something quite strange. Pastor Father, God said I should tell Love Assembly to let my people go. And the people are you and your wife. And before anybody starts to cry, no, they're not leaving you as in stopping being your pastor. But heaven says, I have borrowed you, my servants, now for the best part of 2 decades. I want them back. I have sown them as a seed into you. I want a harvest for their instructions, their callings, their passions, and there will be opportunities opening in this next part of this decade that go beyond the church called Love Assembly for your pastors. God wants you to acquiesce. Somebody say acquiesce.
Acquiesce.
God wants you to acquiesce to become an apostolic base and team from which they can fulfill God's purpose on their lives. It is time for sons and daughters to begin to stand and speak with the enemy in the gate. So I'm giving an instruction, and I love all of you. Just to mention a few names. In fact, let me not mention anybody's name. But you know I know you guys, right? I know you personally. And in some cases, I literally know where you live. Thank God for gifts of cars and houses which are to come. And that is a prophetic word, by the way. But God is calling for you to give them in this season the gift of release. Like Saul and Barnabas. You as a house, as a leadership, create systems and structures that makes it possible, convenient, and desirable for them to fulfill the apostolic assignment of God on their life outside the four walls of your church. That includes not stressing them. Can I get a witness, somebody? It includes taking on responsibility to free them up. But it also includes financial and manpower contributions to the dreams of their heart that go beyond the charity registered as Love Assembly. And may God give you understanding. He said to tell you, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Give them back their straw. And stop using them to build your cities of treasure. And start recompensing them with building what God has called for them to build. Thus saith the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Back over to you, Pastor Fola.
Lord, we just thank you tonight. Lord, we just thank you tonight. You said we should expect the unexpected. Good and the perfect gift we receive in the place of rest that we've labored to enter into.
Yes, Lord.
In the place of rest, create in us a new heart. And thank you for the altar you require.
Yes, Jesus.
Altar in the, starting from our hearts, the created heart, that we may begin to manifest as your sons and daughters. For the whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And thank you that which you have shown and spoken that is to come. I pray every one of us, our hearts will be right. Our hearts will be according to your pattern.
Amen.
Our motives will be your motive. The desires of our hearts will be the desire of your heart, because
yes,
our hearts have become yours.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we say, be it unto us according to your word. Not according to any private interpretation. Not according to any private design or pattern. We say, let your kingdom come.
Yes, Lord.
Let your will be done. Amen. On earth. Yes, on this new earth. Just as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray tonight for your son.
Yes, sir.
Father, thank you for confirming every word you've spoken through him with signs following.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for that which Lord is manifesting already.
Yes,
Lord. Which shall be seen.
Yes, Lord.
Clearly, clearly. Touched, tasted, handled. It's all for your glory. And Lord, we vow again that all the glory we will give to you. All the glory. So Lord, we pray, refill your son, refill your daughter, refill their children, their family, refill their altar, refill their hearts. And Lord, the work you've called them unto, the flock you've called them to, spiritually oversee, Lord, they will not fail, they will not falter. Your counsel alone shall stand in his life. Father, thank you. We return all the glory to you. And we say, Lord, blessed be your name from this time forth and forevermore.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
See, we I don't want to start, but we will see and unpack things in camera. You know what? I would just say this, and I felt impressed to say it, what God was speaking to me. Before you asked that, what month is this prophetically? It's day 5. I mentioned it just behind the scene to my wife here. When you look at when God told Noah to come out of that ark, according to the Hebrew calendar, it was the second month. The second month is the start of May. The end of April and the start of May, according to the Hebrew calendar, the second month. And I will just say this. Let me say it for the record. May is a significant month in 2021.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I can confirm from other prophetic dealings I've had with God.
God be all the glory. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you to Pastor Joker.
Thank you for having me and having us. Pastor Bura, thank you so much.
I'm excited, I'm jumping.
My entire household is rejoicing.
Likewise. So Pastor Bura, as you're jumping, I hope you're counting those steps.
I'm counting. Have you checked today?
Private joke.
We know where we meet, sir.
We know where we meet, yes. Yes, ma'am.
God be the glory.
Bless you.
Thank
bless
you.
My love to the young men as well.
Yes, thank you so much. Wow, strong confirmations. We will meet behind. Let's leave it here.
Yes, sir.
And everyone tonight, let us celebrate and appreciate the ministry and the man, Apostle Reverend Olumide Isiawe, and his wife. That God spoke through again yesterday.
My woman of God.
Celebrate. Yes.
My personal woman of God.
A lot of things we will celebrate together next year.
Amen.
Basically, celebrate.
Amen. Amen. So and I'm looking forward to those celebrations.
Yes, sir.
Let me put it this way. Whoever is listening, this is your word. I see myself making multiple celebratory trips to Liverpool next year.
That's right.
But I'm not necessarily tied to me coming to preach.
That's right.
I just heard God say that clearly, that there are going to be times where I'm going to have to get on a plane. Amen. Amen to plane. But get on a train or get in my car to come to Liverpool to celebrate with some of you. And that will be my reason for coming, not preaching. And I speak it over your lives in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.